Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host. I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin, as usual. And also, as usual, I'm super happy to be here because if it's the Mac Show and I'm hanging out with this crew, that means it's Friday morning. And this is a great way to start off weekend, pre-weekend eve. I called it something else in the past, and I forgot what it was. And I thought it was clever. And now I don't remember. Oh, well, anyhow, hey, I am so happy to be here with all of you. And yeah, we might as well just start seeing who's here. And I'm looking in the live chat. Patrice, It's very possible I was right, just about to say the American Tech Network. Look at who we have here today.
There was a little pass between me and Mac Show. So I was like,
I think my neurons were having to do a little extra work there. But you know, when you think about it, today it really is the American Tech Network. Mm-hmm. And the only person here with us today that's not physically in the United States is Patrice.
And Patrice, who has the flag?
I'm in the 51st state. You should know that.
Yeah, you're the 51st state. Okay, so Patrice is the only one here that's not in the contiguous states.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And with that, Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting today because I hurt my foot last night. Nothing bad. It just ran into a box, like a moving box that I was packing, and didn't remember that I put it there. So yeah, and I just walked around. Like, it's all good. It's just like a little sore, I think. So no, I'm good. Long weekend, so that's always a good thing.
Nice.
And I took a day off. Went to the hardware store with a friend because she needed some stuff. Rented a car for like 2 hours and did that. That's good.
Nice.
And some ice cream. You know, all the good things. I have
coffee. All of the good things. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And Dave, how are you today? Coming to us from the International Space Station, at least based on the video feed.
Oh, that's true.
This damn iPhone. doing good. Abbreviated session today since I have to cut out here in about 15 minutes for work. But I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here just for that brief time to hang out with you guys.
That's a way to get out of cool things.
I don't want to get out of the cool thing, but that's not, it's an uncool thing of having to do some work. So, and be at a meeting.
I'm glad you could join us for however long you can be here. And if you have a cool thing, we'll do a special interlude for you where you can share your cool thing.
All right. That's okay. So,
all right.
All for next week.
Okay, cool. Now we all have something to look forward to and a reason for everyone to come back for next week's show. So you can see Dave's cool thing.
There you go.
Yeah. Ben, how are you? And I do have to say, you're looking better, which is nice.
Yes, I'm feeling better too. And I'm so far into the weekend, there's actually a beach in the in the chat room.
Yeah, I see that.
Nice one.
Chuck, how are you?
I'm a lot better, Jeff. I was under the weather for a bit of the week for various reasons, all of which were physical, none of which were mental, in spite of rumors to the contrary. So, you know, it's great to be back with you guys here on Friday, as always.
And it's great to have you back. And and even though I didn't see you on Tuesday, since you were so sick that you didn't even do Mac Voices Live, so I can only assume that you look much better today than you did on Tuesday.
I don't know if I look better, but I definitely probably sound better at the very least. Exactly, Patrice. That was like me on Tuesday, but every 30 seconds. So yeah, it was one of those, like, I'm not that pretty to start with, but definitely you didn't want to listen to me on Tuesday.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, I was thinking I'm finally feeling well enough to do Mac voices again, and then I get the notification from Chuck.
Yeah, I wasn't going to quite blame you for being sick, Ben, but I thought, you know, okay, we're only, what, about, you know, two time zones away from each other, and I still seem to have caught maybe what you had, so.
Yeah, air currents, I mean, they really carry stuff. This is why people should still mask up.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's those damn internet viruses.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they are insidious.
Well, the funny, you know, it's funny you would say that, and I know you're jesting, but on Tuesday here, Monday or Tuesday, we had an air quality alert, apparently because of all the smoke coming out of Canada from the fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have that right now.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, and I started to blame part of my problem on that, that, you know, and I've never been susceptible to that kind of thing, but, and then it, I think it honestly just turned out that I had a bit of a summer, spring, summer, cold flu kind of thing, but... The air quality probably didn't help it at all.
Yeah, could have been a combination of the two. Like,
yeah.
Air quality, like, taxed your immune system, and then the bug was able to get in.
Yeah, yeah. Number one rule. Yeah, number one rule of the Mac Show: blame Canada.
Blame Canada. Oh my God!
Can I blame them for
now,
some good
now
things?
The song like... is stuck in my head. Thank you very much, Ben. Yeah.
Now I'm hungry.
Right?
I was just thinking of some Canadian food. I'm like, now I'm hungry.
Yeah. So, yeah, Chuck, Ben, the air quality issues, they are here as well from the fires in Canada. Woke up to an air quality alert here. Our AQI is currently 169, which is very unhealthy. Meaning if you have to go outside, you should be masked up, and you should not be outside. And yet there's a construction crew working on the back porch on our building right now.
From all the way from Canada, that is quite far.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, Ben, I can totally see, but like, yes. Ooh, wow. I mean, even Chuck is quite far, right?
Yeah. So from my front window, I look over the top of a church and I see the mountains that I can walk to from my front door to the trails. It's like a 10-minute walk, and I can barely see the mountains today because the fog is the smoke is so thick.
Wow,
they're just like a dark hint in the background. So yes, I'm indoors. All my windows are closed, and I have an air purifier in the living room, the office, and the bedroom, and they are all running right now.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. My air quality is somewhat better at 158.
That's not much better, Ben. But I'm glad it's at least a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you might all see us die from poison air on air. You better be watching.
Right.
I think Jeff will be okay because it doesn't look smoky at his place at all right now.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine.
Yeah. This is a weird start to the Mac Show.
Yeah. And I only have 8 minutes left.
All right, so with 8 minutes left.
Go.
Yeah, what's your cool stuff, Dave? Yeah.
Well, with 8 minutes left, let's start with a story that I have totally cribbed from Dave's show notes for In Touch with iOS from last night. And this is about the accessibility features for iOS that Apple announced this week. So one of the features is called Personal Voice. If I actually over here, I can read the names of things. Mm-hmm. Live speech, personal voice, point and speak in the magnifier. Okay, so the thing is with personal voice, you can now train your iPhone so it knows your voice, so that if you are someone who is going to lose your voice, mm-hmm. you can have a recording or a sample of what your voice sounds like, so you can recreate it through your iPhone. So you don't really lose your voice in that sense.
No, and I mean, you don't have to do that. Like, I think you can use personal voice even without that. But it's definitely a really good feature. Yeah. I mean, this is the whole dump people... is part of the.
Did I lose my internet connection?
I think you did. Yeah,
he froze.
You're back.
Global Accessibility Awareness Day.
Right? Yes, B-A-A-D. Which was this week.
I always forget. It was this week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this was expected. Apple does this every year. But this is cool. I will set this up. I mean, even if I don't really need it, I mean, you never know. Like, you might be, like, I get sick or something and might need it one day.
Right.
There are a lot of useful accessibility features and mm-hmm. on the iPhone that we all use. I mean, the one a lot of people notable is the double tap on the back of the iPhone when you want mm-hmm. to launch apps. I mean, that's just for the touch part of that. But this, we talked about this last night. It's just amazing how Apple has just really accelerated with their accessibility features. It's really good. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I should say is it is not 100% your voice, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Because it's still a model, like a machine learning model that mm-hmm. gets trained on your voice. So there is probably still subtle differences, especially when you have an accent. So I'll try it with mine and see how that turns out. But I've heard from, I think, Federico Vitici tried it and it wasn't 100%. But it's still better than nothing. Like,
yeah. Right. And you're only doing 15 minutes of training on mm-hmm. this.
That's true.
And there are higher end tools that mm-hmm. can do this. With those, you're actually spending hours training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, maybe there's even a possibility to keep training it.
Yeah. Well, and this is a first effort. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we're only seeing this come out, you know, allegedly, you know, or in the betas. So, you know, will it get better as it goes, and will it get better with version 2, 3, 4? Of course it will. Mm-hmm. To Jeff's point, there are already plenty of things out there already that you can do this with. But now Apple's A, building it into the system, B, making it really accessible, and C, making it so that you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours doing it. Mm-hmm. And you still get something that's, according to what I talked to Patrice too, what I've read, I haven't done it yet, but it's passable. It wouldn't be Patrice version, you know, it wouldn't be Patrice, but it would be close to Patrice.
Close enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm actually wondering if you keep using Siri, whether it's like, it's going to train it. Like, once you've enabled it and have done the initial setup, which is to get a baseline, I'm wondering whether they will just like, they just feed Siri into that, because I mean, they could, you're speaking all the time.
That's true. And all the processing mm-hmm. yeah. for the personal voice feature is being done on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's an important point. The feature takes quite a bit of processing, and I don't remember how long it takes, but it's not immediately available. Like, it takes a little while to process. Mm-hmm. So it's not live processing or anything like that.
I mean, but still, if you're someone who has lost their voice due to like mm-hmm. ALS or throat cancer,
mm-hmm.
This helps a lot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it does. Mm-hmm.
And for all those people, wondering why do we need all these super powerful chips inside our phones? Right, here's a good example of what could be mm-hmm. done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yep. I've seen a couple mm-hmm. Things online where people are saying this is a bad idea because now people can steal your voice and fake. No, they no. can't. This is all local on your iPhone. So
even if you were sitting somewhere, like, I don't know, you're sitting in, let's say, a restaurant, and like someone on the table next to you would be recording you to, like, whatever, steal your mm-hmm. voice. They couldn't, because you need to speak specific sentences and specific things into the iPhone and to in order to train it. So good luck getting you to say exactly the things the iPhone needs.
Right, mm-hmm. And to do it for 15 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I hope we would notice.
Also, as you guys have said, this doesn't exactly pass the smell test. You can tell it's computerized voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I think all of us together here, we should not be concerned about that. Why? Because we have put out hours, days, weeks of content out there with our voice. So if someone wants to train a Chuck voice, doesn't need Chuck for it. You can just put all of Mac voices in and Mac Show and so on, and like it's done.
And I'm sure sorry about that.
Yes.
but Jeff, I get frustrated with all the naysayers, because for all the reasons I just said, this is a good idea. There are tools out there that, to Patrice's point, if somebody wants to do something nefarious, the tools are already there. You know, and it doesn't matter what tool you could create, somebody's going to find a way to theoretically abuse it in some way. So
yes, and I'm going to interrupt you for a second because Dave has to go.
But guys, I wish I could stay.
Yeah, do you want to tell people where to find you, or do you want me to make it up for you at the end of the show?
IntouchableiOS, IntouchableiOS.com, YouTube, IntouchableiOS on YouTube, and Twitter, and Mastodon at DaveG65. Thanks, guys.
Dave, so glad you could join us for a few minutes. It's always great to see you.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate it. See you soon.
Take care, Dave. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. So now we can do the real show. All right. Yes. Chuck, sorry to interrupt you. Wanted to give Dave his moment. Back to you.
No, glad you did. I didn't see it in the chat. No, I mean, that's sort of the point, though. It's just that everything can be abused. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. From a butter knife on down, you can abuse it if you want to, and if you really try to. So, you know, that is not a reason for us not to have some of these tools available for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's this. I mean, that is the same argument that people have for any kind of social service, where it's like, oh, there might be one person under, like, out of a million that might not need the help, and that's why we shouldn't help the other 999,000. Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's not the reason. Like, yes, it can be abused, like everything.
Yes, I mean, if we're going to apply that logic, then we shouldn't have cars.
We should just stop.
We should stop having cars, because there's a chance that someone could decide that they want to drive a car through a crowd and hurt people. Yeah.
Electricity, you could kill someone with it. So we shouldn't have that. Running water, you can kill
you
with
can
water.
Drown people with water.
Drown people. Like air is dangerous. Like
it is today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually it is today.
No, I mean, like it's...
And for the folks who think that we're taking this too far, these are more obvious, you know, obviously just mm-hmm. examples. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think, and part of this conversation is relevant to the development of ChatGPT and all the large language models out there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that could take us in a whole nother discussion. But I think it's important to keep all of that in mind when you're considering questions like this.
Yeah. It's always a balance. Is the net mm-hmm. it's the net balance positive? So overall, it does positive things for the world. Yes, there is a potential for abuse, but overall, it's a positive thing. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. If it's like, I don't know, it's a weapon of mass destruction, and overall, it's more or less negative, then maybe we should think about that. Mm-hmm. It's a question, valid question to ask, but just because there's a technology doesn't mean we should do it.
Also, keep in mind that technologies like this benefit more than people that mm-hmm. that need to rely on accessibility features.
Oh yeah.
For example, my eyesight just straight up sucks. But with glasses, I can function pretty much normally, or appear mm-hmm. as if I'm normal. okay. I totally leaned into that one. That I expect the jokes will be coming. Anyhow, there are vision points where I just can't focus on something with or without glasses.
Yeah. Or you just have a bad day. Like, I mean, that happens. Like, your vision is not a fixed thing. Some, there are days where it's probably worse than others, and it's totally valid. I mean, there's so much like accessibility technology is not just for people with disabilities.
Yes,
like, you can. There is situations where like even young, healthy people like me use one or the other technology for like good reasons.
Yep. I've bumped up the type size on my iPhone a little bit. It's just so much easier for me. Even when I'm wearing my glasses, I fully plan on using point and speak and magnifier because there are things that I simply can't read. And I often will use my iPhone to zoom in on something, take a photograph, and then zoom in on it more so that I can read what it said.
Oh, I had to do that actually yesterday, because the serial number on the HomePod is in gray printing on the black bottom of in teeny tiny 1 point like size on the HomePod. So I used my iPhone and I got it that way.
See, that's really smart.
Yeah.
Does the Home app show the HomePod serial numbers?
It does, but I'd already removed it because I didn't think of that. But I have multiple and I wanted to put them in the right box. And, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I know it's on there and I knew where to find it, but it was very hard to read. Like, even for someone, I mean, my eyesight is not perfect. Like, I'm, what was it, -3, I think. I mean, I wear contacts, so. But, it's still way too tiny to read.
Mm-hmm.
So, I use the accessibility features in the iPhone and get to that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I...
Go ahead, Ben.
Yep. And I always... And I have the motions or the animations permanently turned off on mine because I have motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Even if you didn't, like, maybe you just don't like animations. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be that you, like, have motion sickness or anything like that. It might just be, I don't know, they annoy me or they take too much time or whatever reason, and you just tell, like, disable them.
Ben, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me. When I first had them on, I didn't know how to turn them off after iOS 7. My iPhone was making me seriously ill.
Interesting. So I'm sorry, but you know, but just interesting. You know, we all have these little quirks about ourselves that you don't even think about, because if you don't have them, then you can't really relate to them.
Yeah, or you've like over your lifetime built little workarounds around them, so you don't even notice. Like, it's something that I had to learn, that I've built so many of them sometimes that I didn't even know. It's just normal for me.
It's funny you should say that, because until you said that, it hadn't occurred to me that I've been doing a workaround for years. If I'm having a difficult eye day and I need to be in front of my screens, I change all my screens to grayscale and accessibility. I just turn off the color.
Yeah. You probably don't even think about it anymore because it's just something you do.
Yeah, I should talk see about if I could do that with a shortcut.
You can probably. I think there's a we should talk about the other accessibility features that they introduced.
Oh.
So there was there was voice, personal voice. There was, what was the other one?
Live speech and point and speak magnifier.
Point and speak magnifier. I mean, that is straight up, I think, a like VR, AR, actually AR glass feature. It's basically like you hold the phone out. Let's say you are in an elevator and there's buttons. You hold the phone out in front of it, and then when you point with your finger, like in front of your camera, like hold the phone like this, and then you point. It will tell you what that button is. So it analyzes them before, basically, once you hold it up, and then when you point it, like, it tells you what is written on it, like which floor it is or whatever. That is, I mean, think about that in glass form. Like you can just walk around and it analyzes it, and then when you point to it, it says, "Oh yeah, this is whatever the third floor." Oops.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
Even without this in glasses or goggles, whatever, having it on the phone, this is mm-hmm. something that I will use in grocery stores.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's tags on products or on the shelves are surprisingly difficult to read. Even if you have pretty good eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, for me, I'm like looking close. I take my glasses off. I stand back. I have, and I do a lot of photos in grocery stores too, just so that I can look at the thing, you know, zoom in on my phone. Anyhow, this is going to be a feature that
another
for me,
workaround.
Yeah. Another workaround. Yeah. And I don't consider myself disabled in any way. I don't think I am. There are people that have much worse eyesight than I do. But you know, when you can't get a focus range to work, no matter what you do, well, you find workarounds.
Yeah. So I said, that's a really cool feature. Like I can't wait to try that.
Me too. Yep.
And now imagine doing that with translation. So you're in, let's say, Japan, and you can't read kanji. So like you just hold up the phone and then you point to it and it translates it into you.
That is just so cool. It's we are getting closer every year to Star Trek's Universal Translator. Yep.
Very cool.
Yep. And actually, since we were talking about the whole AR VR thing and accessibility and all that, we might as well talk about the latest report about Apple's headset. I found an article this morning, which is actually from yesterday, on 9to5Mac, saying that the headset is actually a very significantly compromised product compared to what I almost said Steve Jobs, Tim Cook actually wanted this to be. Yeah, I know. How about that?
Yeah, I honestly I don't believe this article. I mean I don't think that if the Apple execs weren't convinced that this is a product that should exist, then we wouldn't see it ever.
Yeah.
Because they make the decisions. Like if the CEO says no, then it's a no. If the CEO is not convinced it's the right product, then it's a no. That's the person you have to convince. So yeah. I mean, it's a nice headline, it's a nice story. I don't believe it.
Yeah,
is it compromised? Every device is compromised. I mean, they're saying like, oh, it's severely compromised, blah blah blah. Every product is a compromise, and the first version of a product is usually a bigger compromise because you don't know yet a lot of things. You don't know how the market is going to respond. I mean, look at the Apple Watch. Like, Apple didn't know at all what was going to happen.
That's true. They released a product and then watched and then decided how to move forward with it.
Yeah. Even with the iPhone, I think to some extent that was true. The first product, you do the best job you can. You have an idea what it's going to be. But ultimately, it's a wait and see thing. And this is always a compromise because otherwise you could spend another 5, 10, 15 years and keep improving it and whatever, but it still wouldn't be any better.
And during those 10, 15 years, maybe the competition moves in. I mean, that's what happened to BlackBerry.
Yep.
They waited too long. The iPhone swooped in.
Yeah, exactly. So, everything is a compromise. Like, there is no product without compromise. If anybody tells you this product has no compromises, they're lying.
Well, you know, go back to Steve saying great artists ship. Okay, they're going to ship this, and there's going to have to be a 1 point or a 1.5 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. And so I seriously, I mean, every company I think tries to make the current version of the product the best they can. But there's nothing wrong with having a roadmap of features that, yeah, we'd like to, but it's going to take too long, or it's going to cost too much right now.
Yeah. Yeah, or we don't know yet if this is the right thing to do. Like, we have this idea, this might go this way, but we're not sure yet. Like, the market might tell us something completely different.
Yeah. And in this case...
Go ahead, Ben, sorry.
In this case, they get basically beta testers for it to figure out what this product actually is.
And on some of the comments that have been made, not necessarily the ones in this article, but, you know, about the pricing. I mean, yeah, the pricing is going to give some people pause. Guess what? The price of the original iPod gave people pause. Mm-hmm. It's like, who's going to spend that much money, you know, on a music player to stick in your pocket?
Yeah.
Apparently a whole lot of people, yeah. So
who's going to spend $500 on a phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently a lot of people. They spend even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try double that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wish I was paying just double that.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, as I said, like at some, and I know that from like a lot of products that I've shipped, at some point, you just have to ship it and see if the things that you assumed, the things that you thought were the right decisions, are actually the right decisions. And you should do that before you invest more and move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're shipping this, let's say, beginning of next year, the next two versions are already in the pipeline. They've already worked on. So, I mean, there is some room, especially on the software side, where they can change. But on the hardware side, they know already now what the next couple of years are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's always we know that from Johnny Ive. Like, for the iPhone, he had an ideal in mind from the get-go, like what the ideal phone would look like. And over time, I think they got closer and closer to it, like less bezels, like more features, like the ideal, like everything basically falls away and it's just the display. And I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the glasses that are mentioned in this article, that's the ideal. Like lightweight, you can just wear it on your face. Like that's probably the ideal thing, but we're far away from that.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's better to ship something now that is okay. And it is a compromise for sure, always, than to wait another 15 years or whatever.
So. Mm-hmm. The thing for me with the whole Apple headset, goggles, glasses, whatever it is, the thing for me is, what can Apple bring to the table that differentiates what they're doing and improves the market? And based on what we have available today, I don't know. I mean, yes, Apple is really great at innovating and coming up with these cool products that we find different ways to use that hadn't been anticipated, which is really cool that their products are flexible enough that we can do that.
Yeah.
So, but something that's going to cost like $3,000 or I'm just not seeing the use case for the average person today.
Which it is why they're coming.
Does it have to be for everybody, for the average person?
It doesn't have to. I'm just saying I'm not seeing what the use case for average people is today.
Hence why the Reality Pro is being released before the Reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And Apple's modus operandi is they go for the high end of the market. And when they feel like they've hit a threshold, a saturation point, whatever their keystone marker is for that product, then they come down a level and have the product below that. And look at the iPod. It's a perfect example of how Apple does this. You had the big iPod, and then they started hitting lower price points as they saturated different parts of the market. So they can do the same thing with this, assuming that the product takes off, people like it. I suppose you could even say they did that with a HomePod, because we got the big HomePod, then we got,
smoke.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. When you live in a place that was built in 1903, you can't actually really seal it up. So even with my air filters running, my eyes are bugging me, my throat's starting to have trouble. Yeah, good thing we're recording this morning and not this evening. I think that would be difficult.
Oh yeah. So
to hear a difference in my voice, check out today's episode of the Mac Show, and then check out the recording for the Context Machine, which Brian and I will be recording this afternoon. And I bet you're going to hear a difference in my voice. Anyhow, I forgot Bob what Beach I was saying. Someone else talk.
Bob Beach in the chat is saying he thinks this is a riskier product for Apple than others. And I agree. It's also, in my opinion, a way bigger deal than any of the other products. I mean, the Macintosh, the Apple II maybe could be on a similar level. The Macintosh was a logical like iteration on the same idea. The iPhone was an iteration on phones and other ideas already. Apple Watch and so on, the same. And I talked about that a couple nights ago with some friends. My view on AR VR is we might not have that the next whatever 5 years, but I think in the long term, when we look back, we will see that this is a massive deal. It will change literally everything, like entertainment, work, a lot of other areas.
I agree. Oh, I'm sorry, Chuck, go.
Well, no, on your comment about, I guess, who needs this right now, there was a product publicized yesterday, and I'm sorry, I couldn't find it real quick, but it's basically, I guess, a laptop with a set of glasses that give you a virtual screen. And the depictions of it got me to thinking about a set of glasses in a different way. And this may sound like the way that everybody's thought about it. It didn't strike me until I saw it visualized. But what would you do if you could put, you know, a 100-inch screen in front of you? Or if I could turn my head this way and look at, you know, a part of a virtual screen that is not there, that way, you know, up, down, and not a virtual world, but just an augmented world. So that, I mean, because I'm a big fan of having multiple screens. The more screens, the better in front of me, because I can do different things in different places and have them all right there. And so if that to me right there could be a justification for trying these out.
That in a heartbeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Just imagine nonlinear editing in that environment.
I think about a lot of things that, you know, you could so easily do. That would right now we're restricted to our physical screens, but if I had a virtual screen that I could manipulate in the same way, just like a virtual, if I had a virtual screen that I can manipulate objects on the same way I do on my physical screen, you hesitate to say game changer, but that could be a really, really big deal for someone that spends a lot of time in front of a screen, but who doesn't spend a lot of time in front of a screen?
And that's only one thing. I mean, as I said, for gaming, we already know it. But for like movies and TV shows, I definitely foresee that being a massive deal eventually. Like it might, as I said, not the next 5 years, who knows. But over time, I think that is going to change entertainment in a way that it probably since the invention of a movie hasn't changed.
Hey Chuck, I found an Axios article about the augmented reality laptop from two former Magic Leap employees. It's called the Space Top, and it's $2,000. Does that sound like the one? Yes.
That's the one.
I dropped a link into the live chat.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that doesn't. I mean, that looks like something that I would potentially use. And up to this point, the idea of having, you know, a movie screen that size, that's great, but I'm not going to pay for that. The idea of going to be able to play in a virtual world and do that, but for right now, I can identify with what this looks like it would let me do. And that's that in my to me is huge. That would have me pulling out my credit card and saying, you know, maybe.
I mean, even because you mentioned the movie screen, I mean, just imagine like you're sitting at home, maybe with your extended family, and you want to watch a movie together. And you don't need to buy like a massive TV. You just need some space on your wall somewhere, and everybody has a headset, and that's it. And you just do it, make it as big as needs be, basically. It can be really small, it can be really big, and you can decide that on a like on a whim and say, okay, today we only like watching us two, so it can be smaller, and tomorrow like whatever, 15 people are watching. Like,
you know, on one
that
hand
makes a difference.
I really like that idea. On the other hand, seeing years ago at CES when they're doing 3D TVs where you put glasses on and they were saying this will be great because you and your family, you can all get together. You just put on these polarized glasses and you'll watch the movie together. And
it wasn't great.
It was not great, but it was not great. Take out the technology part about the 3D part just sucked. People didn't like the idea that they were now isolated in a sense from everyone else that they were going to be watching the TV show or movie with.
See, and that's the big advantage of AR, because you can literally project it. I mean, one, it's not 3D. It doesn't have to be 3D. It can be like literally the same thing we have today, the same movie, the same TV show. I think for the future that will change, but for now. And with AR, you can literally turn to the right and you see the person.
Like, that would make a huge difference.
So I think that's the thing, I said, and that's just like those are just the things, and I think that's why it's so important that Apple releases this to this year, next year, I don't know, but they have to release it. These are the things that we can imagine right now. As we've seen with the iPhone, there's about a million things that we haven't thought of yet that you can only do once you have the technology in hand. Like us developers, we will find new ways to use this.
And Patrice, you just made the point that to me kind of shoots down the 3D glasses and everything is that there's no chance for me to interact at all with the person I'm person or people that I'm watching the thing with. I mean, unless you're going to, you know, create an augmented reality situation where then there's an avatar of me sitting there in front of the screen, you know, with an avatar of you beside me and an avatar of Jeff on the other side, which could happen, but it's at some point it's like, okay, it's just easier to get a big screen TV, you know, come on. Unless you've given me a headset or headsets that I can have multiple uses for. And oh, by the way, we built this in. Okay. Then sure. Yeah. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we have that today. That is what a lot of like those massive multiplayer online roleplay games do. Like you can meet with your clan in your with your avatars in a room and all of that. Like we already have that. This is not new. And people do that all the time.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily. I mean, it's getting better, but it's not necessarily well done. Not well. Scratch that. It's not well done enough for the general non-computer nerd geek person. Yeah.
But I mean, there is a lot of those out of there. Yeah. Like other world. No, and maybe that one, like VR, I have a feeling VR will take quite a bit longer to fully mature. It's already like for some things really cool and there's like some really good demos and so on, but I think that will probably take a little bit longer because it's harder to do. Because you need to like you need a full world instead of just parts of a world.
So,
but for getting there, I mean look at how realistic a lot of games these days are already. They're getting really, really good.
Yes, you're right. The technology is advancing. The 3D glasses experience that I could see flopping before it even launched, that was a technology that just simply didn't address how people do things. Something like this where it's comfortable and creates a feeling that's more natural, I think would have a higher chance for adoption.
Yeah. And I mean, younger generations see things differently. Like when it comes to technology, it's always that way. Like, shouldn't True. Forget that. Even like, I mean, even I'm like in my late 30s, so like, there's people Jeff, half my age.
Whippersnappers.
Jeff, I'm going to say something that I think you should say.
Okay.
And I think you will agree with me, but I think where this potentially could start is the porn industry.
Sure.
Yeah.
It already has to a degree.
Right.
And something like this, where it becomes a more immersive experience. Yeah, that could really drive the technology forward. And I absolutely agree with you. Mm-hmm. I know I've said it many times over the years. If you want to see where technology for business and other mainstream activities is going in the future, look at what the porn industry is doing today, because the porn industry is on that leading edge, and they are testing and ultimately defining so many of these technologies that we use. I mean, the reason VHS went out over beta, porn industry.
Yep.
Yeah, and what we're seeing with the VR world right now in the porn industry, it's very rudimentary. Mm-hmm. But with the right advancements coming at some point, then that becomes much more immersive.
Yeah, because the technology is barely there yet. That's the thing. I mean, they have been over the years. I mean, like Oculus kind of defined the space, and that was, it wasn't great. Like, it was okay. I mean, it was impressive for what it was, but it wasn't good mm-hmm. enough yet. Mm-hmm. And with like the development of the last couple of years, that has gotten better and better and better, like to the point mm-hmm. where most people don't get motion sickness anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's mostly a hardware thing. It's not a software thing.
But yeah. you better believe that they're going to be some of the first ones in line to buy whatever Apple puts out there, and mm-hmm. probably for this space top laptop as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, for these, the one people ask that one thing Apple can bring to the table, Apple Silicon. It has a lot more power than similar ARM processors.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Apple can get better performance out of their hardware because they are designing the whole thing down to the chip level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm not seeing a use case for me today for something like this. However, I will mm-hmm. wait for it, and I will mm-hmm. keep an open mind. And I have set this precedent for myself already. And I'm wearing an Apple Watch. I don't like wearing watches. I bought the original mm-hmm. Apple Watch so that I could review it, fully expecting I was going to sell it or return it. And here I am today wearing an Apple Watch Series 8. And it's just a part of the technology that I rely on all the time. I'm still not a fan of watches. I'm still not a fan of wearing watches.
I'm with you.
But it turns out that this is a very useful piece of technology for me. Yeah, it's a wrist top computer, and I have learned to tolerate having the thing on my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if I could turn off the time, I mean, I've basically banned it to a corner. If I could turn it off, I would. I don't care. I don't need the time.
I totally get it.
Jeff, you know, that's an interesting point, that it's not, you don't think of it as a watch. It's a wrist-top computer. Just like the phone is no longer a phone. It's, yes, it has a phone function.
Yeah, it's a supercomputer in my pocket.
It's just an app.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, if we do an A equals B, B equals C, then what could a headset, whatever form that takes, turn into for us that it's not a headset?
Mm-hmm. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, I mean, wrap your head around that for a little while and give it some thought, especially over the weekend with a couple of drinks and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been doing that for years.
Yeah, I mean, like drinking? The iPhone, that too. But like the iPhone, this might be or the Apple Watch, this might be a situation where we don't know what we want until we see it.
Yes.
And
that's exactly the reason why, as I said before, Apple has to release this. I'm sure they have reached a point. I mean, it sounds like it. They've reached a point where, like, all they could think of and all they could do, bar, as I said, some technology, like, advancing, they have done.
And as they push their technology forward, we will get better, more streamlined products.
I mean, remember, the first Apple Watch was kind of terrible. It was great, and at the same time, kind of terrible. Like, the battery life was, the apps were kind of not great, but it was awesome for what it was, but it was still terrible. Yeah, same for the iPhone, the very first iPhone. I mean, it was awesome and terrible at the same time.
Apple does have a track record there.
Yes.
I think every company does. I mean, every first version of every product I can imagine had some flaws that later versions fixed.
The track record, they start awful and get awesome. And although I don't think TSO hosted that, I think they've just always been awesome. So much so that they are giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows to you every single week. They are giving us the hosting space we need, so we have a place for the website to live and a place for all the show files to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes at your leisure. How can they do this? Well, beyond the fact that they're just really nice and really awesome in helping us out, they do awesome web hosting. And they have great support. They're super reliable. Think about the last time you saw the BTN website go offline. Oh, that's right, you didn't. That's how reliable they are. And they're great at helping you by your domain names. This is just the stuff they do. And what they're doing is leveraging that for us by giving us these services, because it would be impractical, impossible for us to come up with the resources on our own. So their generosity and support is awesome, and we love that they are here helping us out like they are. Now, what you can do to let them know that you appreciate that they are here helping us out, go out on your favorite social media and thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do, and it just makes everyone feel good. So please go do that. Now, if you have found that domain name that you just can't live without, and you have that website idea that you would just kick yourself for the rest of your life if you didn't make it happen, go to TSO Host and use their services to buy your domain name and do your website hosting. Get all of that in your cart. And then add the discount code BTN20. And when you do that, you're going to get 20% off your order. So not only are they here helping us out and supporting us, they're offering a great deal to you as well for being a BTN fan. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. We really do appreciate it. And Patrice, I also appreciate that you are so patient with me every single show. Would you please tell people where to find the chat?
Of course. So we have a really awesome live chat that we're talking about some interesting things in right now. And if you want to join us, if you're listening to this live right now, you can just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in and you can talk to us. You can do that, by the way, if you want to, like in the future, if you want to listen to this show live, you can do that every Friday, 4 p.m., UK time for the Mac show, so for this very show. And also every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you're into the non-Apple side of things, like space tech and Android, space tech, Android, Microsoft, cars, like literally anything else, basically. Yeah, but if you like, if you can't or don't want to listen to this live, and so you can't join the live chat, you can still at least see what we talked about. Can click on the links that we're posting, like the news stories that we're talking about, and also the cool things that are coming up. And in order to do that, you just head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a little calendar that pops up in the middle of your screen, and you have to select today's date. And today's date is the 19th of May, 2023. So put that in there, and then you see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Excuse me. Thank you for doing that. You rock. Wow. Watching my voice decline in real time. That's awesome. Okay. So with that, it means it's time for cool things. And if you want to know what Dave's cool thing is, you have to tune in next week. Just saying. All right. But until then, Ben, you have the first cool thing. Tell us about it.
Okay. There's this little Apple thing called the braided solo loop they introduced. It's been known to have a few issues, like, say, being hard to size and stretching out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. I have a six pack of a band which should be able to rectify that. Instead of having one size fits all, these are size adjustable. They look pretty much just like the Apple one, and unlike some other ones, they do not use the clasp type, which don't work. You get six different one of those. In this one, it is black, green, Atlantic blue, yellow, rainbow, pride, and something other. And all six of these are only $17.
There's a deal going on right now. Click the checkbox for 50% off.
Yes. Yeah. Mine, with that 50% off plus the $5 gift certificate I had on Amazon, I paid $4.
I'm about to pay $9.53, including tax.
Yeah. They also have different colors. They have both the large and smaller sizes. It just seems to me like it's a really good deal to try them, and I will have a full report next week when I actually get them.
Nice. And I think I just tried to buy the wrong size, so now I have to go back and look again. Great.
Yeah, Ben, you may have just cost me some money, and I'm not even aware of these bands, but I know people that are, and this is quite a little package. It looks like there's also, no, same deal's not quite as good on some of the other colors, but.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I'm not buying this. Because if you get the smaller band size, it costs significantly more for the same pack.
Ooh.
Oh, how crappy.
What do you mean smaller band size, Jeff?
For the smaller Apple Watch.
Yep. Oh, the 38, 40, 41.
Yeah. So it costs $21. No extra discounts to get this for my watch size. Well, boo.
Huh.
But these are cool nonetheless.
Yes. I mean, realistically, I'm going to be wearing the blue and the blue and silver.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? I might want to wear a different band someday.
Yeah, well, and it's nice to have options.
And it also might be worth paying attention to these to see if they you know, if they do different sales on different packages at different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's really cool. Lame that they're not offering the deal for the smaller Apple Watch sizes, but still cool bands. Mm-hmm. Okay. Patrice, tell us about your pick.
So my cool thing today is a book. It's called or titled Wool by Hugh Howey. And it's about a silo. And if that sounds familiar, it is because that is the book that the new Apple TV Plus show Silo is based on, or one of the books. There's like a whole series of books. Yes. But like after watching the first couple of episodes, and there's actually a new one today, so I'll have to watch that later. Like after watching the first couple of episodes, I really wanted to like read this book because the story just sounds really interesting. And I did. I'm almost done with the first book. It's really good. So it's about the whole silo thing, like people living underground and they get sent outside for cleanings, and like if they want, like if they say they want to go outside, then they get sent, like they get what they wish for. And yeah, there is of course a whole story to it. What I really appreciate is the TV show. I think I have a feeling, I mean, only three episodes in, but I have a feeling they found their own way to that story. So it's based on the books, but it is not an adaptation exactly of the books, which I really appreciate because I think like TV or like movies or anything like that are a different medium and they should take advantage of that and not just repeat what is already in the book. Like, simple as that. So there's some differences, but there's also like the basic story still the same. So I'm definitely going to keep reading like the next two books. There's, I think, three. So yeah, really good. Like it's really well written. I'm always on Audible on the audiobooks, but you can also buy the printed or Kindle version or whatever you want. Yeah, really good. And there's a Q&A at the end where like the author answers some questions and so on. So it's a really cool story. Like in general, it's just a really interesting, really cool story. And now that I've read it, yeah, I didn't like the things that I thought I predicted. No, I'm wrong. There's a lot of twists and turns that I definitely did not see coming.
Cool. Yeah,
it was the aliens.
At some point last year, I bought all three books as a set for Kindle, and then completely forgot about it. So I guess I should start reading those.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to just watch the TV show and not do it. But I like, for me, this is a separate thing. I can read the books and watch the TV show. And for me, I can still enjoy either. Like, even if I for sure know a couple things here and there.
Yeah, I get it. I can do that too. Yeah, to me, that's not spoilers. That's experiencing a story through multiple mediums.
Exactly, is it? And there is some quite significant differences here and there, like how they tell the story in the TV show and certain things. So I'm predicting that it will be different, which I really appreciate. So
cool.
Yeah, highly recommended.
All right, I guess I need to start reading the books since I apparently own them. Cool.
You should probably. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Chuck, tell us about your cool thing.
Picking a podcast episode this time. I've picked episodes from this podcast before. This is Against the Rules with Michael Lewis. If you're not familiar with Michael Lewis, he wrote Moneyball. He wrote Liar's Poker. Mm-hmm. He's written a number of great business books that sort of tell the story of how things happen and what happens behind the scenes. This time he interviews Molly. I want to make sure I get it right. Molly White, who has been a bit of a cryptocurrency skeptic. This is 33 minutes and 31 seconds. And it's well worth your time to get a little bit different. You might say realistic. Yeah, definitely skeptical view toward cryptocurrency, where it's been and maybe where it's going. I found this particular episode really, really interesting and can highly recommend it as a relatively short listen, but high on information that will make you think a little bit. And especially if you are thinking about getting back into cryptocurrency or want to play with it, you know, you may want to just listen to this first. Ben shaking his head violently to the point that he's going to hurt himself. So I don't know if you've listened to this, Ben, or not, but
from what I can tell, Molly had a lot of the same views that I did at coming into cryptocurrency. That yeah. I chose to stay away from this particular type of security.
Yeah, longer term, who knows? We'll see. But mm-hmm. I think this is a really, really informative and enjoyable listen. And it doesn't go geeky on you. It goes a little bit geeky enough, you know, that you have to understand cryptocurrency to some small degree, but it's more like a practical view of it. And that's what I really appreciated. So mm-hmm. the link's in the show notes and in the chat. Please go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool. I'm definitely going to listen to this. I have been a crypto skeptic, ever since I learned what it was. And my guess is that this podcast episode will be validation for the concerns that I've had for a long time.
And Jeff, I respect that. I guess it's just like anything, especially in an investment, if you're looking at it that way, you just have to go in with your eyes wide open mm-hmm. and understand, you know. And so are there opportunities here? Oh, probably so. Yeah. But just understand how it all works before you start dropping in lots and lots of money.
Yep. Yeah. Just
understanding.
Think of it as...
Yeah. I mean, understanding the basic like logic behind it or the basic principles behind it, like who makes money, how, why, what's the risk, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Think of it as gambling. This is a bit higher risk gambling, also a little bit higher reward potentially.
Yeah. My take. Yeah. That seems totally reasonable. Yeah. My take has been, if you want to make money in cryptocurrency, you become
build a time machine.
Yeah, first time yes. machine, but then second, treat it like the gold rush and silver rush in the United mm-hmm. States. The people that made the money weren't the people that were out trying to find gold and silver in the mountains. It was the people that were providing all the services for those miners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you should, for Bitcoin or for like crypto mining, you should provide the shovels, right?
Right. Provide yes. the shovels. Yeah. Yep.
In other yep. words, buy NVIDIA stock.
Yeah. I think that's too late. What? That was, yeah, you should have done yeah, that years that. Ago.
Hence why I said time machine.
Time machine and NVIDIA stock in the past. And now manage transactions. Be a transaction broker. All right. So that brings us
Lego
to
time.
My pick. And my pick today is this awesome porno that Chuck told me about.
Yeah. No,
wait.
Thank you for giving me credit, Jeff. Jeez.
I was fine. I was able to keep a straight face all the way until I saw your reaction, and then I just couldn't. Anyhow, so my pick today, I feel, is very appropriate for those of us that are living in the smoke path from the Canada wildfires. And it's called IQ Air Air Visual. And it's an iPhone app that gives you air quality reports for wherever you are or wherever you want to be. And you can see maps showing air quality. It has a companion app for the iPhone, so you can, or for the Apple Watch, so you can have real-time notifications and information on your watch as well. And this is a tool that I have used for a few years, in fact, because poor air quality from wildfires is a very common thing here. And I think it's important to know what sort of air quality you're dealing with, especially when you have to deal with fire smoke. So this app is free, and I don't even know if there's in-app purchases. If there are, I should just pay for them because I use this all the time. Yeah, so it's IQ Air Visual, and I even have it set so it gives me an air quality report every single morning at the same time. It's a really cool little app. And I still haven't figured out if you have to pay for it. Price, free. It does. I don't see anything about in-app purchases anywhere. All right. Well, there you go. And with that, wow, we are here at the end of the show again. Go us. And I almost said, and we didn't even lose anyone along the way yet.
About that.
Yeah.
Not true.
Luckily, it's not like we left one behind. Dave will be back with us next week. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays and also on the Big Show on Thursdays. As I said, if you're into the non-Apple side of technology, then that's your show. Everything I'm doing, like all the social media links, the podcast, the project, literally everything, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you are into Mastodon and you want to join, like you're looking for a server or you haven't joined yet or something like that, you're not happy with where you are currently, transferring over is super easy on Mastodon. I can provide you with a link for how to do that. It's quite easy. But I have my own instance, techhangout.social, with some really awesome people. And yeah, just hit me up and I'll provide an invite to you. It's invite only, like a lot of good services are.
Exclusive and high quality.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. You do have to wear a tie or a dress to be on that server.
No. As long as you're not naked. Okay.
sending Patrice a Benjamin will help.
I'll take it.
Do you really think we can fit him in a box and ship him over?
Yeah, you put me on the plane.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, wait, that's right. We don't actually have to put you in a box and ship you at FedEx or UPS. We could just put you on a plane. Hadn't even
occurred. I mean, with my Austrian heritage, I might even qualify for citizenship.
You probably would, yeah. You would have to give up the American, but yeah, you would.
All right. Well, it's good to have a fallback plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chuck, how are you? No, wait, that's the beginning of the show. Holy
crap. Yes, Chuck, how are you?
The smoke has gotten... Welcome to the Mac Show, everyone. So great to be here with you today.
The smoke is now taking its effect.
Yeah, I actually have a headache now. Loads of fun. All right, Chuck, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me at macvoices.com, where things are getting back to normal as we have wrapped up our NAB coverage. But there's a lot of great stuff there. If you aren't caught up, you should definitely go back. We talked to a lot of really interesting people, wide range of folks that deliver a lot of really interesting products if you're into video production. And if you're into video consumption, it just helps to kind of know what's going on out there. Usually we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. I was under the weather this week, so we didn't. But assuming the smoke doesn't get to me too, we will be back this coming Tuesday and hope to see you then. And on all the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. I was concerned that with you having to take Tuesday off, you'd be out of practice. But man, you nailed that delivery. Nicely done.
Well, you know, that's what a little bit of rest and some drugs will do.
Yep. Yep. Totally get it. Yep. Ben, speaking of having a little bit of rest and maybe some drugs, where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me at Ben Rethig on your social media of choice. I am everywhere except for that newfangled blue sky thing. Now you can.
Yeah. Same.
But, yeah, I mean, Ben, but you did get an exclusive invite to techhangout.social.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yep. You can also find me on Raythig.tech, my website. On Tuesdays, when nobody is sick, you can find me on Chuck Joyner's show, Mac Voices. On Thursday, when again nobody is sick, you can find me on In Touch with iOS. And then Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the Mac and Big shows.
Awesome. And all right, so that means it's my turn. All right, here we go. Jay Gamut on Mastodon and Instagram, and still don't have an invite into Blue Sky, so I haven't checked that one out yet. Then shows when Chuck isn't sick and he lets me on, which is surprisingly often. Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. Then Dave Ginsburg keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Then for the British Tech Network here with all of you on Thursdays for the Big Show, here with you on Fridays for the Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I record the Context Machine. And I'm certain, absolutely certain, that when we record this afternoon, I will have found several things that I can use to trigger Brian into going off on rants. I'm looking forward to setting him off. It's what I do. Thank you to all of you for being here and being so awesome. You all absolutely rock. This has been loads of fun. And for those of you that are here participating in the live chat, watching and listening live, thank you for being here as well. Everyone that watches or listens later, thanks for being part of the BTN family. And Tioso Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Ewan, thank you just for being you. And Muller, thanks for making sure that we have people for shows, and hope you're feeling better soon. And yeah, I think I got through all the stuff. So that means this is the part where I say, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the Big Show. Join us again on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.